I've got the regular board meeting, August 19th, 2020. Supposed to start at 1700 hours or 5 o'clock, but we were fashionably late due to a board member. But if you could do a roll call, please.
Director Mabee?
Here.
Director Janko?
Here.
Director Butler? Director Butler, I see you press star 6 on your phone. She's trying to unmute herself. Press star 6. Director Butler.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Stop yelling at me. I'm unmuted.
Are you here?
I've been unmuted. I'm here.
Director Merchant.
Hello. I'm here.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Item number 2, consider adoption of the agenda. Do I have a motion?
It's John. I'll do that.
Thank you. Do I have a second to adopt?
I'll second it.
Thank you.
Roll call vote. Director Mabee?
Aye.
Director Janko?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Yes.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Thank you. Moving on to item number 3, appointment of new director. Before we get right into it, a couple of things. I would like to thank again Mr. Graff and also Mr. Pohl. When we had a sudden board vacancy, we went through a process we found ourselves with the vacancy and with the current election process in place. There were only 2 people that put in, and in this case for the vacancy, through the elections office, we're able to fill prior to the actual election. The other person that applied was Director Merchant, and that'll take effect on the normal election cycle. So with that, appointment of the new director, I'd like to have a roll call vote, please.
Are you taking public comment before you do the vote?
No.
I wasn't planning on it, no.
Tim
allow public. This is Shanahan. You need to allow public comment. And secondly, I didn't hear a motion for the appointment.
Tim, let me make that motion. I move to appoint Martin Pohl as a new director to the CSD.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it, Linda Butler.
Thank you. Now that we have a motion and it's been seconded, we can open it up to the public.
Hi, I was hoping to find out, you had identified that there was a process that you all went through and there was 2 people that sought this position, and I was hoping to get some information regarding the 2 people that sought this position and what the criteria was for selecting the person that you did.
May I ask your name, please, so that I can have it for the record?
Sure. Crystal Matter.
I think 2 things. One, and Mr. Shanahan can jump in. The current process we're going through right now is just through County Elections Office. The process that took place before, I'd be happy to have that conversation, but not tie up staff and everybody else's time in that matter that was already public record on how we went through it. But if you need more clarity on the election office, then Mr. Shanahan, the district legal counsel, can address that if that's necessary.
wonderful. So long was it was done under public comment and notice was provided. No issue here, and I can follow up with Mr. Shanahan. I'm not familiar with it. I don't necessarily oppose it. I just am not familiar with the procedures for appointing interim members.
Tim, do you mind if I jump in? This is Tom Hennig, real quick.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom, please.
So it's Crystal, right?
Yes, correct.
Crystal, there was a process where the district attempted to appoint a new board member, and that there wasn't a decision that could be reached. So it was left to, okay, what's the next election going to show us? Only two people put in their names for the election. There's two vacant seats. So they automatically, it's called a walkover election, they automatically become the candidates that win the election. Because one of them is Marty Pohl, we swear him in, and at our choice, we can swear him in now, or we could wait until December. It was discussed amongst the board, and we reviewed this process with the county registrar of voters, and they informed us it was okay to run through this process and appoint him now, which gives him a chance to get started right away versus waiting until December. So the decision was made to run forward with him now and to swear him in today. Does that answer your question?
It does answer my question insofar as he was selected over the other person. Again, I don't even know who the other person is and what that decision-making process is.
Excuse me. That is an inaccurate statement. He was not chosen over the other candidate. That process is separate from the election process that was just explained to you by our general manager. We can spend a whole lot of time tomorrow or later in the week if you would like the complete explanation. But the election process, this is what we're doing. We're not selecting him over anybody else. This is because he put in to be elected. One other candidate did. He's a current board member. As the GM explained, we're in this process right now.
Oh, sure. I apologize. I didn't put words in your mouth. I was just trying to understand.
Okay. Any other public comment? Staying with item number 3B. Amelia, this is a technicality, but you are to swear him in, not swear at him like you do with me, okay?
Yes, sir. If I may please ask for a roll call vote prior to that to know that the will of the board is to appoint him.
Good call. Thank you. Go ahead.
President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Mr. Pohl, are you on the line with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you so much. I'm bringing up the oath of office on the screen. I don't know if you've got it on your computer yet. If you'll repeat after me, sir. I, Martin Pohl, do solemnly swear.
I, Martin Pohl, do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
And the Constitution of the State of California, all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
Discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Mabee, have I lost you?
Sorry, I need to unmute here. Amelia, thank you.
Thank you.
We're moving on to item number four, the consent calendar. All items in the agenda will be approved as one item, unless there's anything that needs to be excluded from it. Otherwise, we're going to adopt a motion to take the consent calendar. Do I have a motion to accept the consent calendar?
Yeah, I'll move to approve the consent calendar.
Thank you, Director Janko.
And I'll second that, Amelia.
Thank you, Director Merchant. Roll call vote, Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Pohl.
I think I need to abstain. I wasn't involved in those meeting minutes.
So you abstain?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, moving on to item five, staff reports, 5A, the general manager's report.
Good evening and thank you, Director Mabee. This is Tom Hennig, and I'm going to go through the general manager report and try to hit the highlights. Again, top on so many lists these days is the COVID-19, and we continue to monitor what the Sac County Health Directive is telling us to do, and they continue to have a stay-at-home whenever possible mandate. Our offices remain closed to the public, and we are continue to not take cash as payments for bills. The district has two employees that tested positive for COVID-19. Both have recovered and are returned to work. I wanted to go over a little bit about where we are at with and our activities related to COVID. We have suspended lockoffs, and we are not able to charge penalty fees, and that's according to the state mandate. We continue to have workplace safety precautions. We began right away in March staggering our work schedules. We now regularly screen employees' temperatures. We've installed a sneeze guard at the district office counter in case and when we do. We have hand sanitizers, masks, and gloves everywhere in the offices and in the workplaces for operations and security staff. As we do bring employees back and on a regular basis, we remind them of protocol for reporting any kind of illness or any kind of exposure. So if somebody has a family member that's exposed, we let them know that, like, for instance, if your wife or your kid was exposed or your husband, we would really consider having you quarantine and pay a lot close attention to it, to you. We will be meeting and conferring consistently with the OE3 as needed, or their union representatives. And I want to point out this, to this point, has not been without a cost to the district. So we created a little graph, thank you, Amelia, of where we have spent to date $31,518 on COVID-19 response. Beginning with masks, hand sanitizer, sneeze guards, other protective devices, including equipment for our operations workers, such as individual breathing apparatus and additional PPE materials for when they're working around chemicals and different parts of the water district. So if you look at the chart, are you at the chart, Amelia? You can see we spend $15,000 on supplies. That includes, I'm looking up and down, $15,000 on supplies, $2,900 on lab testing. And that's high because we basically had everybody who could possibly have been exposed to the two employees. We gave them the option of being tested. About a third of the employees were tested as soon as they found out through their own physicians. The rest were tested through our occupational health provider, Concentra. $7,000 in project time, and to date, $6,000 in sick time. as I recall, when we were back in March or April, required to provide up to 80 hours of COVID sick leave to all employees, our estimate would be that we spent up to $10,000 in sick time. So hopefully we don't get there, but if we have another illness or two, I can see it happening quickly. Then there is the next item on my report, and this may get to be more drawn out than normal, but we had a petition that we received, and it's discussed later on in correspondence, but I want to talk about it here. We received a petition from Judith Embry, Jane Hall, Marlene Hensley, and Bobby Fite about their concerns over the Laguna Joaquin water quality, both the color, the smell, and the fact that the midge flies continue to be a very serious problem. What I want to say is we're taking this extremely seriously. We immediately have scheduled a meeting with the owners of the CIA ditch, which is the method of putting fresh water into Laguna Joaquin. And due to some circumstances downstream, the owners of the CIA ditch have chosen to not funnel the water through Laguna Joaquin, but to divert it to keep away from, to keep chemicals and stuff and the drainage that comes off the roads that ends up going into Laguna Joaquin from going downstream that might negatively affect some organic farming that's going on down there. The other thing we're doing is we're meeting with the Sac County Yolo Vector Control, Mosquito Vector Control, this coming Monday to talk with them, one of their scientist persons with them, and we're going to talk about options of upping our game with trying to treat the midge fly. We have also decided to double our efforts with the treatment of the areas of Laguna Joaquin where the midge flies are believed to be mostly coming from, and that effort is going to start immediately. I would suspect by next week we'll be going through a series of treatments in an escalated fashion to try and deal with this right away. And Paul Stevenson is on the line. Anybody has any more specific question, but I just wanted to say, as the general manager, this is what I have initiated, and I expect there to be results in within a few weeks. And at this point, I really am interested in, we can have questions later, or we can have questions now. What would you prefer, Tim? Would you prefer we do it later when we go to correspondence, or?
Yeah, let's do it under correspondence. You can move on with the rest of your report. I appreciate you touching on it here. It's that important. Thank you.
Okay, going to the Rocky Hill controllers, we now have 80 through the program purchased by district residents. That was 4 in the month of July. Going down to advocacy, so we had our quarterly staff safety meeting in July. I have met recently with the leadership at the Murrieta Villages to outline the location of a surveillance camera will be. So there's going to be a surveillance camera placed at the entrance of the Murrieta Village, and that surveillance camera will be by our South Guard, our South Gate, as needed basis, and like we do in other cases of our surveillance to prove an event or identify a vehicle, we'll be able to do that shortly. I expect that to be all completed by the next time we have a board meeting. I was invited to the RMA compliance meeting where we had some very positive discussions related to security and gate patrol activities and security patrol related activities. I'm still pretty new to the job here, and so it helped me to really get a perspective of the RMA's desires for where we go with gate and patrol. There's a series of water meetings that a couple were held. I kind of virtually paid attention. There was no real issues for us to be focused on at this time. They're doing a lot of shuffling of boards and trying to get strategic plans together and such. I met with the owner of Residences East, along with the attorney with Dick Shanahan's firm. The owner, Mr. Kyle, had a number of questions for the district to answer on how, you know, different items that help him proceed with how he wants to deal with this property. And we feel like we've gone through everything. And that at this point in time, I believe his questions has been answered, and now he's going to go off and do what he would want his plans. And Paul and I met with the folks at the project over between holes 9 and 10 by the restroom on the south course, where there's a road that's going to be built as part of the project. And we're dealing with the location of the water pipes and the relocation of the black tees on the 10th hole. Very critical to make sure that it stays in alignment. And so that was good. And we're also managing the agreement with Coastland reviewing the drainage plans to help move that project forward. Under other district business, there's a lot of conferences and educational opportunities on the list, but the reality is the Special District Leadership Academy, which is a very useful training put on by CSDA, it now has two tracks. Has the where you see LA module 1, 2, and 3, 4 versus December 17th or 27th through the 30th. So right now I doubt if they're going to have the meeting on the 27th to the 30th. So I think they're trying to schedule their online meetings through the processes. And then we also really important, and I forgot to put it on my report. We are scheduled for de-escalation training. It's something that we had scheduled back in, I believe, April, and it was canceled due to the COVID-19. I have requested that instead of having a one-day training, we split it into two. We split it into four groups so we can, in a socially distant fashion, get the training that is so much needed for our security, our operations, and our front office staff. Main tools for dealing with situations that are escalating either just out of control because too many people are talking, or maybe because there's an actual security concern. We want our people to how to deal with situation from getting out of hand. All of my attended the two-day half-day session with the SDA, Tanya attended. Who handles our virtual HR bootcamp. And then on a really bright note, and you'll hear about it later in the security report, was on the ball and was able to start working to keep a fire in hand while the fire department was en route. And when they showed up, they asked him to help out in keeping their equipment while they did their work. And so they were very happy about that. And unfortunately for us, Brandon has had a dream of being a correctional officer, and he's moved to Louisiana to go to their correctional academy. So his last day was last week. So he's off to Louisiana. He started his academy this week. And on my final note, I'm very, very pleased to announce that Elizabeth Richardson has been hired as full-time front office assistant. So when we open our doors, or when you call our 3700 number right now, Elizabeth will pick up and she's taken to the job like a fish to water. She's doing a great job. So congratulations, Elizabeth. With that, I conclude.
Tom?
Yes.
I'm here. Okay. It's Linda Butler. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes. Go ahead, Linda.
Okay. About this is terrible. This is terrible. There's been a lot of noise in here. Is it possible to talk? Hello?
I can hear you, Linda.
Okay. Regarding the residences and Mr. Kyle and your meeting, did he indicate or does he need to indicate to us at this point what he is building there?
He has had a variety of ideas and mm-hmm. also ready, you know, his next step is to go to the county and start working on modifying his map. He's made it no secret that the 99 homes is not in his plans, and that he's trying to subdivide the acreage into different formations. If I said one, the next thing would be his other versions. So I really don't want to comment on the different options he's got on the table, but I do know him everything he needs to know from a perspective of where the district's at, when payments are due, what's required, both to and from, money to and from him. So it's like, okay, we've answered all your questions. And he said, yes. So that was that. And now he has to go do his own thing with the county.
Okay, great. And I didn't catch too much of what you said regarding Riverview.
Okay, it was a quick, it wasn't a quick meeting. We were there for about an hour. The developers, both the engineering firm and the home building firm, Raymond and Bartis, were there, as well as the contract management guy. And then the RMA was there. Representatives from the RMA were there. A representative from the country club were there. And then Paul and I. And we kind of just kind of walked through what it was going to look like as they brought a road in, or they wanted a water main to go. The fact that we needed to do some relocation of the 10th tee. And then there's a lot more discussion related to traffic of carts as the project begins to initiate. They're still planning to bring in graders to start doing the grading of the entire project before the rains come this year. And I believe they're on schedule to do so. They talked a lot more with the RMA and the country club than they did with Paul and I, because our requirement is pretty straightforward. We know where the water main's gonna go. We know, you know, where the sewer hookups are for the first phase, so on and so forth. So our stuff is pretty simple. We just want to make sure we're at every meeting, so if something comes up, we can answer it right away.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And is RMA satisfied with whatever they're doing, or are they still working with them?
I think they're going to be working with them throughout the process, because I think they still want to do some changes to the configuration of the roads, but I don't think feasible activity, because then I think you have to go back to the county and have your map reapproved, which years.
Okay, thank you.
Anything further?
Not on that.
Okay, Paul, I think we're good there. Thank you. Moving on to the financial report.
No, Paul. Finance, I'm sorry.
Okay, this is Michelle Ammon, the interim controller.
I need to
hang on just a moment. Michelle Ammon, I'm the interim controller here while Cindy's out. And for the finance update, reservoir usage was up just slightly. Commercial water was also up. We, of course, had no lock-offs in the month of July, and as of yet, we have no pay agreements due to the COVID-19. Aging, some of the aging accounts have been paid since we did this report, which is good to see. And reserves are doing good, and the revenues are up on some of the areas and a little below on other of the areas. So, and right now our expenditures are below the budget in the month of July. So are there any questions?
That was short and to the point. I'm good. I'm looking at the document stuff right now. Any other board members?
No.
I'm sorry.
John, the public has a question. Is that right, sir?
Yes.
I see your hand is up.
Okay, thank you. I just have one quick question. I've been looking at these reports month after month, but in residential water consumption, all those numbers, like 2,548, is that for instance, an average resident, just some kind of average resident?
I'm trying to figure out what number you're looking at, 2,548.
That table you have right on there, and like that first line, it says residences.
Oh, that's the number of residences throughout the district that are using water.
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
That's the number of residents throughout the district that are using the water, that have water hookups.
Oh, okay. Oh, so that's the count of residences.
Yes.
Okay, and then down below that, that's the cubic feet for the average resident?
The cubic foot used, yes, and then the gallons per day, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Very good, thank you. On to 5C, security.
Yes, this is Tom Hennig. Jeff is out this week, and I am going to give the report on his behalf. So bear with me. I made some highlights, and hope if I start taking too long, someone tap their pencil or something. Of course, last month was July with the 4th of July and the downsizing of all the activities. We had acquired a new iPad so we could have much better traffic control and flow at the gate. But with the downsizing of the event, that turned out to be not a problem. We had hired four Sheriff's Department deputies to work the evening shift. And other than odd little, fireworks and noises, loud parties and stuff, we only had one event that turned into something that was a little bit more than we planned on, which we're very happy the Sheriff's Department was here. And I can talk about that in a minute. And then I've asked Jeff to start working again towards bringing defibrillators and tourniquet type equipment, medical equipment, to be placed into the patrol vehicles to help us provide, on the spot first aid if we run across someone who needs that sort of apparatus to help them save their lives. Once we get the equipment, we will go through training again. We went through training on it when we did our mouth-to-mouth resuscitation training a few months back. And so we're going to do it again, and hopefully in the next couple months we can tell you that this is what we now have available in our patrol cars. The defibrillating machines are very common in the world right now. Again, incidents of note, the traffic was light at the North Gate on the 4th of July. There were only 14 advanced gate passes, and there were only about 24 fast passes. So I think everybody just calmed down when they knew that maybe the parade and the celebration. And then here we responded to a large party about 11 o'clock at night, and that's late enough. I think we're supposed to be done by then. When we arrived, the guests and the people who were at the property were pretty uncooperative. And at one point in time, it started to escalate into places we didn't want it to go. The Sheriff's Department, of course, were here. And it just took them a few minutes to get here. And as soon as the residents saw the lights of the patrol cars, everything calmed down. In the future, I believe, if we may decide, if we think we're going to a place where something may escalate, and this is what we'll get out of the de-escalation training, we may reach out to the Sheriff's Department before we step in there ourselves. Moving forward, there was a pretty significant vegetation fire under the wooden bridge on July 17th at 2:30 in the afternoon. Multiple agents called, and if people saw it, they got to watch the helicopter drop some water. There were no injuries or damage to the bridge. The cause of the fire was unknown. Pretty much the same day, we had vandalism where somebody committed on a pumping mechanism housing cabinet at Chesbro. That and the issues with the buoy should become a little bit less prevalent now that we have cameras on, like Chesbro, that can watch what the activities are for the buoys, as well as the activities surrounding the road down to the down to the water treatment plant and the road around the lake and the hills nearby. That camera system was installed a couple weeks ago. I believe we talked about that at the last board meeting. And on July 21st, patrol noticed some barriers put up by RMA in Lake River Park were damaged. And then on July 27th at 11:12 in the morning is when Brandon Areno was on patrol in the north and he smelled smoke. He saw a fire coming from the area of the river. He drove down there. He contacted the South Gate to call the fire department. And when they got there, he had already been working, trying to keep the fire from spreading with a shovel that we carry in the car. And then they asked him to help keep their equipment safe while they went in and fought the fire. This fire was caused by a turkey hawk that flew through a power line. And then we're still using PDF for contract gate security. And the joint security meeting, while postponed due to COVID, I think now that there's a new GM at the RMA, I think we need to decide to have that meeting regardless of the distancing that we got to do when we meet that. There was a question at the last board meeting to come up with stats on protocols for service. And so I had Jeff put together a worksheet for me, and these numbers don't make sense. So Jeff and I are going to sit down. I talked to him already. We're going to sit down and take a look at what stats are being generated that constitute a call for service. We should be somewhere between, 2,000 and 3,000 calls for service every quarter. And it looks like, we've hardly had any calls for service in the first 7 months of this year. So I would really rather have another shot at answering that question. Another question came about, what do our officers respond to? And our district code, chapter 21, section 3.01, security and gate officers are responsible for protecting lives and property by seeking to prevent an incident or offense from occurring at the district. So in the case of a utility worker who gave first aid, mounted resuscitation to revive somebody who's having a very serious medical event, Brandon Marino, who took it on himself to grab a shovel and help secure, protect the district by getting right there in front of the fire. It's important to note that in addition to just the basic compliance issues that our security officers are responsible for, if they see something going on, they need to use their discretion and take action if they think they can make a difference. Another question was the auditing of body-worn cameras. And Jeff and Sergeant Tompkins, on a fairly regular basis, I'm going to get a better idea when I talk to Jeff after he returns, randomly view video from the officers and use that video to assist with training. And then I received the weekend party email. I received a call from a resident that on August 10th, there were dozens of cars that went around the backside of Chesboro and down the hill, set up to 50 cars. And while he said he has no problem with it, he wanted to let me know, hey, this is what's been going on. And I called him up, and it's true. He said they just saw the cars going, they saw the dust, they saw a lot of activity with the kids driving the carts and the cars fast, but nobody called us. And so, again, as we talked about with the golf carts, if somebody sees something happen and they don't call us, we may not know what's going on, because it's 5.5 miles of coverage, and we're responsible to be all the time. So if the kids know that he's over there and they can get down there, it may happen. We really appreciate calls, and that way we can handle it and with more cameras in place, especially the new cameras back there by like Chesboro, we can take a look ourselves and see if something is going on that we need to send the patrol officer to, or in some cases, maybe call the sheriff's department. And then
Tom?
Yes.
Is that Linda? Is it? Yeah, that's me. I have a couple of questions. Did the resident let us know what time they were there and how long they were doing this?
It was before sundown, so it was late in the afternoon, And I don't know that he gave me a time. I don't recall he gave me a time when they all left, but it was before sundown. So I'm thinking they probably went out, you know, whoever was down there was probably down there for a while until after dark. And then whenever they all left.
It certainly would have been helpful if somebody would have called. That's without a doubt, you know, the first thing that we need to have happen. But also I'm wondering, you know, at this time of year, and we've had so many issues with golf carts and traffic, not traffic, but problems with partying, et cetera, down at the reservoirs. Can we not up our, I know it's hard, but can't we at certain times up our trips past there or increase the number of trips that they make? It's such a target area for these kids and people. So it seems like we could send them there more frequently, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Linda, can I answer that question?
Yeah, sure.
When the buoys were being cut, we initiated immediately additional patrol stops up there at Chesboro and the other lakes.
Okay.
In the exact same fashion as when we were hearing comments about what was going on at Riverview Park, we asked our patrol officers to, you know, do a little bit more here. That, of course, takes away from over there or over here.
Right, exactly.
Running around, which is their job. You monitor all the stops they make, and they keep track, and they tell us how often they're in different places when we call them out like that. So, yes, we can.
Yes, you can. I'm sorry. It breaks up.
You can do that. And we do.
Okay.
Is there any comment from the public on the security report? Any other comments? I have a couple from any of the other board members. Then I'll start. Tom, I understand you're just the messenger. Yes, the total number of incidents or calls for service, completely unacceptable. Putting a business check, contracted items in there just overinflates it by almost 8,500 calls. So we'll sit down and work through that. Specific to the follow-up responding to fire and other emergencies, I think it's a complete lack of candor on behalf of the leadership in the security department. That is not at all what I was asking about. I was specifically asking and stating that we're willing to risk a lot to save a lot. I think it was poor judgment. Better judgment would have been to open the other access gate for incoming apparatus, but we're not at that level in the security department to have forward thinking from that standpoint. And then my other point was, if we have absolutely no training, and we're wearing synthetic type clothing, we're just asking for somebody to get hurt. The other question I specifically asked of staff was, I wanted an audited number per the policy. I didn't need the policy read to me or put down as an answer. I wanted the specific number of audits that were done per the policy. I'm just looking for a number. Instead, it was kind of a BS answer that I think is completely unacceptable. But again, I will address that offline. The rest of the document in there dealing with all the other numbers, I agree with you. We just need to move on and we will figure it out at another time. I don't want to take up staff or the public's time. 5D utilities, Paul.
All right, I just unmuted myself. Welcome public and board members. As expected, water plant operation demands have increased because of the heat, and it's getting worse this week. As it relates to our 2020 goal, you can see compared to our base year of 2013, we had a 17.7% decrease in use in compared to 2013. So that's very good, but not quite at the goal. So we're also looking to tag residents that are overusing water and are aggressively tackling water leaks as they come to our attention. On source of supply, you can see on the graph, obviously water supply is going down. It's summertime, high evaporation rates and usage. As mentioned previously, the closed circuit television cameras are installed around the Chesbrough Reservoir to help us protect our aeration system there, which is part of the treatment process. So that was a critical step forward. And we're also looking to do some reinforcements to the buoy system so it can't be tampered with so easily. On the wastewater collection and treatment side and reclamation, you can see as well on the graph, our secondary wastewater storage is going down as we are treating that water and turning it into reclaimed water and supplying it to the golf course for their reclamation needs. So far, we've kept up very well with their needs and are continuing to do so and don't anticipate having any sort of shortfall for the rest of the season. So that's very good as it relates to water supply for them. No issues in the sewer collection system other than some minor thing we looked at as it related to a road sagging that had been brought to the attention of staff. However, it was not related to our utilities after investigation. As it relates to the drainage system, staff spent 141 hours in the drainage system, mainly cutting weeds and hauling away of cattails, as well as in Laguna Joaquin, we did spray the aquatic growths along some of the shorelines in some of the areas. And an update to this report, as Tom had mentioned earlier, Tom's allowing us to spend additional monies in the drainage department, and our next treatment for Laguna Joaquin for midge flies is actually gonna take place early tomorrow morning. So I believe that's gonna be the fifth treatment of the season then so far. On the CIA ditch, which is the Cosumnes Irrigation Association ditch, it was found that there was a substantial leak below the Granley Ranch area. It was found that there was an old pipe running out of the ditch that had rusted out and created a large leak. So we coordinated with the ranch to temporarily shut off flow to the ditch and make that repair. And so far, everything's going well with that. Water metering work, nothing out of the ordinary there, just continuing to replace water meters and their transponders as they fail. And we had one water leak that was repaired in July as well. Of course, everybody may have seen or known that we had a major leak repair on Lago and Para Drive and Lindero, which we utilized a contractor for as well to help expedite that process. And that ran into a few issues that delayed it as there were some unmarked lines present that had to be worked around carefully until they could be discovered what they were. On our water rights renewal, I received the packet for extension renewal information. I had reviewed that. Everything looks good on that. I just need some signatures and some checks to send forward, and that petition process will start. On the chlorine gas to sodium hypochlorite conversion project, that project's continuing to go well as time permits staff to focus on it. We got our specialized parts in to continue routing the piping for the bleach product that's going to be used for disinfection, as well as bringing in some SCADA control systems that are being coordinated for it. And one of the directors had requested how much money we had spent so far to date, and that is listed in the packet as $102,101.23 so far. And that's mainly on materials for the tanks, two tanks that are insulated, and piping and materials, a new chemical trench line, a new wall that was built for secondary containment, and pieces, parts. And so I have that in detail, which I can provide to the improvements committee if they should request that. On the West F electrical panel replacement, that project's complete and working well, full operation. over at the 6B Sewer Lift Station. We started a project back in April 16th that proceeded forward to get the contractor moving on that. Reported that they're going to have that panel done by the end of this week and hopefully installed within the next week after that, which will then complete that project after we go through some startup and testing on that. On the dam inundation mapping and emergency action plans, the dam inundation maps previously reported are all done. We're just working with the contractor on the emergency action plans. Those are still under review with Sacramento County Sheriff's Department. One of the low hazard dams, they hadn't submitted an emergency action plan for that, having been told that those were low priority. However, we did receive an official letter saying that they hadn't received it. So I'm having our contractor expedite providing that out to the state so it can at least be recorded that it's in the queue with them. As it moves on to development projects at the retreats east and north, it looks like the tentative map for that project is being worked on and going to be submitted to the county for extension. On the north development project, the developer report.
Paul?
Yes, go ahead, Linda.
Can I interrupt? The retreats east and north, a tentative map extension is being worked on. What does that mean? Are they changing the map that they have now or?
No, so the map that, so what that means is they have a development plan that has been submitted mm-hmm. to the county and approved. And so under a certain amount of time, I believe it's 3 years, somebody correct me if I'm not right, but I think if you do not proceed
with 5 years, Paul, five years.
If you do not proceed with that project within 5 years, that project can't expire unless you forward for an extension. And that's what they're doing, I believe, right now is working on an extension.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Moving on the Highway 16 offsite improvements. Amelia reported that the hold harmless agreement for the one of the Bel Air signs that was installed over the CIA easement has been signed and recorded with the county. So that's an update from this. And as it relates to lots 4 and 5.
This is Amelia, Paul, and I think I misunderstood what you said. I've received some easements back, but I have not received the hold harmless agreement back.
Okay, I apologize then. All right.
I may have miscommunicated. I apologize. I'm sorry. But I received the easements back that have been all the easements for this year. I've gotten recorded and they've been received from the county, but I have not received the signature on the hold harmless agreement from the developer yet.
Okay, so what is reported here in the packet is still correct. So what Amelia is talking about is the water and sewer lines that are below the ground. The districts accepted those easements and they're recorded with the county. And those are the water and sewer lines that are running through the Murrieta Gardens projects. And yeah. Lot 4 and 5, we just got some communications from the county as it related to conditions of approvals that were potentially outstanding with the project. I provided a letter back to the county as it relates to those, as there was nothing outstanding. Excuse me. No updates on several of the projects, for example, Lot 10, Lot 11, Murrieta Gardens 1 and 2 infrastructure, and the FAA Business Park, which is at the end of Cantova Way. Nothing's really related to district right now. They're just continuing to go vertical with their structures there at that project, but nothing as it relates to district oversight at this time. At the residences of Murrieta Hills, Tom gave a brief update as it related to that with Mr. Kyle. And for the Riverview project, that is a large project that is in process of being reviewed by the district. So we had a conference call with Coastal Engineering and the county and the developer and Tom Hennick. in relation to the district providing review prior to Sacramento County. A few months back, we had worked with the county to create a process that the county would provide review first, then forward it to the district for further review so that there would not be overlapping review to help keep costs down for developers, because there was a concern from a previous developer that there was overlapping review. So, however, this developer is saying, please expedite the process as they want to move forward with grading the project out. And what grading is basically bulldozing it and getting the levels all corrected to where they want to start building roads and building pads. Also what they want to do too is, as Tom had mentioned, at Karsten Drive off the Murrieta South Parkway, as Amelia shows on the map I provided, they want to route a water line from there down that D Street and through down to their H Lane to Reynosa Drive. And that would be a water supply loop. And then in the circled area in red, they're looking to potentially start building lots there. And so that's their goal. Coastland has provided their first blush of review of what has been provided from the project. No comments have been received back yet that I have seen. And that's it. Any questions, anyone? And one more thing, I do have a detailed update of development projects on our website that Amelia has posted for me.
Very good, Paul. Thank you. Not hearing any questions, comments from board members.
This is Amelia, and I do have a few chats that have come in. Les Clark asked, commercial other water consumption table lists raw water use. This is in the finance report. Note a significant drop from July 19th to July of 2019 to July of 2020. Can Paul comment on that in the utilities report? So Les, if you can chime in and help us to better understand your question so we can better answer it.
If you could go back to that table so I could look at it, Amelia, that'd be helpful.
Can you see it now, Paul?
Yes.
Yeah. Commercial.
Where's raw water?
Here's raw water. Mm-hmm. Oh.
That seems to be somewhat on track.
This is Les Clark. I just noticed that July of 2019, raw water usage was 366.048. And in July 2020, it was 231.249. That was the question that I had. And what is the, you know, is that significant? Is that a significant drop? Was there higher raw water usage in July 2019 due to construction? It just seemed a significant drop. And I'm hoping that it hasn't been replaced. Raw water hasn't been replaced with treated water. That's all.
No, raw water is not replacing treated water or vice versa anywhere that I'm aware of at this point. It could be weather related. We'd have to look into it more, and I can get back to you, and I can report out at the improvements committee on it.
Yeah, it's not a significant question. I just, you know, I just noticed it might be an anomaly, and staff checking on it and having a good understanding for the cause is good enough for me.
Okay, well, we'll take a look. Thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Paul, I have a question on the dam mitigation. The one that we didn't think we had to do that we now have to do and we're expediting it, that's still within the budgetary funding that we allocated for this fiscal year, correct?
Yes.
Very good. That was all I have. Not hearing any other, we'll go on to...
I do have another chat, if I may.
Well, you may.
Thank you very much. This is from Crystal, and I believe she's still on the line. question another resident in the community requested I ask. With respect to the various natural disasters, i.e. fires, that have occurred in our community of late, can we discuss the possibility, feasibility of air raid sirens in case there is an emergency, especially during the middle of the night? Would you like to address that now, President, maybe, or during public comment?
Why don't we do it under public comment, because I don't know if it goes to the utilities report.
Oh, all right, thank you.
Do you have any other chats or questions, Amelia?
Not currently. Mr. Clark was kind enough to share what a tentative subdivision map, vesting subdivision map, et cetera, was with the group. So anybody who's interested, look on your chat and you can see the different kinds of maps that the county accepts and looks at it.
Excellent. Thank you, Les, for doing that. Okay, I believe item 5 is now complete. We'll move on to item 6, review district meeting dates, times for September 2020. This is a highlight for Amelia. To the rest of the board members, are there any conflicts? Not hearing any or seeing any. I believe we're good for item 6. Item 7 is correspondence, and 7A and B, I think we can group together, Tom, and you covered most of it, dealing with the retention basin at Laguna Joaquin, and then Paul covered it with some of the mid-fly issues. So if you have something more to add on, Tom, I'm open, or if there are any of the public that want to comment, now would be the time to do it, please.
And this is Tom Hennig. I want to start by acknowledging that on the page 2, the end of page 1 and then page 2 of the document of the petition, there were a number of agencies that were listed for us to reach out to talk with about this problem. And I'm aware of that. And what I decided to do was to meet with primarily the owners of the CIA and see what we can do to maybe go back to the days when we ran a lot of water through Laguna Joaquin, which according to everybody I've talked to would make a big difference. And also to bring out vector and mosquito and vector control for the county and ask them to take another look at the lake or the retention basin as they did, I guess, in 2014 or 15. And then again, also immediately, Paul is applying more chemicals. Now I know it's going to happen tomorrow morning to stop the midge flies in the mud rather than allowing them to climb out and fly away into people's light fixtures, which is what they do. They go to light. So I have these other resources available. I wanted to see what I could do immediately, and that's what I've done so far. So I'm open to answering any other questions or taking any other comments from the public.
Yeah, Tom,
go ahead.
Yeah, Tom, it's John. I'm really happy that vector control is coming back out. We've had them out. It's been quite a few years, if I'm right, but we've had them out before. And do they plan to do, other than Laguna Joaquin, will they give us a total evaluation? They've done that for us in the past.
I will ask them.
Yeah, because it's something we probably should have routinely been doing. We have had them, like you said, years ago, and they've been here more than once. But I think it would be a good idea to really have them give the community a good overview and make some recommendations to us.
Okay.
The other thing is, as part of that, I have read recently where mosquitoes and mosquito populations and the resulting potential virus that comes along with it are way up from where they were previously. So this is a good time to really to get into this.
Tom?
I'd like to say something at some point. Myrna Solomon.
Go, Myrna.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Linda. I have some friends that live on the Front Lake on Colina. I live on Lago. And I understand that you guys have been putting, you know, a lot of crystals in the lake. I heard about that. But I am getting midge flies on my door every morning to the point where we have to go out the garage door or the back door. For some reason, they don't hang out on the back door. My friend sent me pictures. She's got a ton of midge flies. And I also talked to Jane Hall. She couldn't make it tonight, but she said there's tons of them. It's horrible, she said. So I suspect probably part of the problem is that the water is so gross. You know, you might be having a hard time combating that, the midge fly thing. The other problem that started occurring is, and I don't know if any of you have heard about this, and maybe this is an RMA issue, but there are swarming bugs coming up from the lawn around the lake. And, you know, my thought is, and I have no basis in fact to think that, but it's watered by lake water, right? Correct? Or is that where the water comes from to water the grass and stuff? Yes. Around?
To answer your question, Myrna, yes, it is.
Okay. So, in fact, my same friend showed me a picture of the of her patio, and it was covered with dead whatever these things are that are swarming. And she said people walk by and they're covered with them, and they have to run past it. So that's another crazy thing that's going on. So not only are they dealing with the midge flies, but now they're dealing with these swarms of gnats or whatever they are. I don't know what they are. I haven't walked around the lake in a while, but my friend sent me pictures, and it's just bad. And in fact, the guy that does the maintenance, his name is Billy, and he said, it's all around the lake. These bugs, these swarming things, whatever they are. That's kind of all I have to say.
Thank you, Myrna. Linda, go ahead, please.
Myrna, may I please have your last name for the record? This is Amelia. What's your last name so I can put it in the record?
Solomon, Solomon.
Thank you for spelling it, too.
Tim, I have a few comments.
Okay, well, let's get Linda and then to you, John, please.
Okay.
Yeah. Just a couple of quick things. This has been an ongoing problem for so many years, and I want to thank the community for putting together your letter and spelling out exactly what is concerning you and what has been concerning all of us for a long time. I'm not feeling like we are actually putting together a plan, and I think that's what we need. I'm very happy that we're going to at least attempt to take care of some of this, but this is something that is just not going to go away, and it's not going to go away even if we fix it temporarily. And we need to, when we talk about the people who own the CIA ditch, we need to say who that is, and I think that they're two-thirds owners. I'm not sure if that gets them the right to do whatever they want. I think this is a big community issue, and I think that we need to address it from a greater standpoint. I don't know how to describe that exactly other than to say that I think that we need to really get some input from people who know how to deal with these problems. And I don't mean that we don't, but it's a big problem. And it's also a big problem because it's very convoluted where the water comes from, where the water goes, what kind of water do we have to put back into the river, et cetera. So that's my comments on it. I think we, it's fine that we're going to try to take care of some of this, but we really do need to treat this with the seriousness that the problem deserves.
Thank you. Tom, go ahead, please.
No, it's John.
Sorry, John, go ahead.
Yeah, a couple of comments. I don't think we can effectively solve this problem without a freshwater flush through that lake. And, you know, when we got into the existing CIA arrangement back in 84, you know, there was no such thing as an organic farm. And now we've got organic farms and we can't run water over the freeboard, even at this point, because they're concerned about their certification for organic farming. And I can certainly appreciate that. But I gotta, you know, the last or the only tangible benefit that I could ever see for us being involved in the CIA ditch at all was the fact that we could use the water to flush through and control, at least to the best of our ability, the quality of Laguna Joaquin. We can't do that anymore. So for starters, my opinion of us being in this CIA agreement is we now have the privilege of paying for all the maintenance. That's all we get out of it. So the problem is also the problem is also compounded by the fact that we originally started irrigating the strip of grass that goes between the Murrieta Parkway and Laguna Joaquin there, by where the walkway is on the side of the lake. That expanded around the other side to where we throw water now out of the lake onto MTI properties that, you know, contain all the townhomes and condos over there. And I suspect it's gone even further. So we're kind of compounding, and I say we, and it's not us in this case, it's RMA. And we're compounding the problem because we're taking that rotten water out of Laguna Joaquin and we're throwing it all over the grass that surrounds the lake itself. And there's an immediate impact from a smell standpoint on all the houses that are up against it. The other part of that problem that somebody needs to find out, and we were talking about, water and the impact, is I think we ought to understand at this point how much water we're actually pumping out of that lake using as irrigation, because I think we're getting closer and closer to using treated water to do that. If we can't bring the quality of the water up in Laguna Joaquin, then we got no business pumping water out of there and throwing it all over the community. So part of that is stuff we need to deal with. And the other part of it I'd like to understand for starters here is if we could maybe before the next finance meeting just collectively give ourselves an idea of how much on a yearly basis for the last 5 years that CI ditch has cost us, because we get absolutely nothing out of it. And I don't know where I want to go with it yet, but I want to understand from a financial standpoint what it's costing us to get absolutely no benefit out of it. I mean, I think we're doing wonders for the downstream folks that use the water, but we're paying all the bills. So I'd like to see some of that stuff, and I'd like that put on the agenda for the finance committee meeting in September if we could do that. And that's all I got for the moment.
Thank you, John.
I had a question.
Yes, I believe that's Martin.
Yes.
Okay.
So I was kind of wanting to ask Paul if we have a source of fresh water that we could put into that lake, and what's the implications of that?
We do have a source of fresh water from the Cosumnes River, routed through the CIA into Laguna Joaquin is one way. Another way is you can route water from the Clementia Reservoir down into the CIA and into Laguna Joaquin. Currently, there's no piping existing between Calero and Chesbro down to that direction. However, that was discussed about a year ago with RMA staff.
So if we dump water into there, what happens to, you can only fill it so much, and I take it CIA doesn't want that water going any further. What are our options to get rid of some of it?
You can just release it back into the drainage system. And there's two outlets out of Laguna Joaquin. One just goes to drainage, and one goes into the CIA and to the ranch.
Is it a big chunk of water that needs to be down there? Would that impact us adversely?
I'm sorry, can you repeat, please?
Does it take a big chunk of water to flush that or to improve the quality of water?
Yes.
And does that impact us drastically?
Yes, so if we pull water from Clementia, Clementia is also a source of recreation for the RMA constituents. People like to swim and boat there, and draw that down significantly. That also affects the water quality in Clementia Reservoir. That's why in the past, solution seemed to be just route water in and out of Laguna Joaquin to continuously flush it.
Paul, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Martin.
I was just wondering, I don't think you take a foot out of Clementia to put a foot into Joaquin, but so is there some small amount we could do there without adversely affecting us?
Yes, we have in the past. We have put small amounts of water from Clementia into Laguna as needed. I can provide detail in the improvements committee as to how the systems work.
I saw that the other day on your one of the previous improvements committee. You showed a pipeline that went down there. But I just don't know if it's an alternative for us right now. And maybe it could be considered.
Yep, I can provide various options for discussion and review.
Great. Paul, I'm kind of wondering here. I mean, we're talking about running pipe, and we're talking about drawing down water out of our reservoir inventory to flush out a drainage ditch that belongs to I guess the water in it belongs to us. Underneath it belongs to RMA, and the impacts both the impacts aesthetically are definitely on the RMA. I mean, our responsibility here is to maintain a drainage ditch. That's what it is. It's a drainage ditch, and I agree with Randy's comments last time that it is in the interests of the community to maintain it at a higher level than that, because it is a focal point. But I gotta start asking that if we're gonna accommodate that, and Marty's comments are good ones, that, you know, if there are alternatives, first of all, I don't think a foot of water is gonna do a hell of a lot of difference. I'm down there a lot. 1 foot of water is not gonna make that, you know, a high Sierra lake.
Can I get unmuted?
Who's that?
This is John. Can I get unmuted?
Well, let me finish first, John, because I gotta believe that, you know, in my mind, maybe RMA ought to own the CIA ditch. They're getting the benefit out of it. What are we getting out of it? I mean, really, we're just paying the bills. What if the folks in the village get on here at the next meeting and say, well, why are we paying all this money so the grass can be green and it can be nice and not smell around Laguna Joaquin for the residents inside the gate? And why would the commercial customers want to pay that bill? If it's, you know, we're going to get back into the same, pissing match that we got into with the allocation into security out of property tax revenue. You know, if everybody wants to vote to raise the drainage tax so we can do all of this, then fine. If everybody votes for it, I suppose we would get the benefit of it. But again, I think it's a focused impact on a segment of the community, not the entire district. So I think all these things,
are you going to give up the ownership in the dam?
I don't know what I'm giving up, to be honest with you. All I know, we're paying the bill.
Okay.
Wait a minute, John.
In 2017. Amelia, would you mute everybody for me? Okay. I appreciate your comments. And I'm going to give everybody a chance to speak. We're not going to solve it today. Tom, you have a couple of requests from a board member, and Paul, you do as well. Tom, you and I have chatted a little bit. Once the new RMA GM finds the bathroom and his parking stall, I know that we're going to have a meeting with their president and myself. So I would think that this is going to be in the top couple of items that we can talk about. The other is I've chatted with the general manager about possibly bringing back the ad hoc committee that we've had with RMA several years ago to kind of put a long-term plan into effect that allow us to try a couple of things. I don't think we can solve some of the more political issues, but I think that now that they're coming to the table, we can start to identify them. So with that said, Mr. Sullivan, would like to hear your comments, and then we're gonna cut this short because we're not solving it tonight. Go ahead.
Working on it. You should be unmuted, Mr. Sullivan. John Sullivan, are you still on? Oh, there you are. Mr. Sullivan, can you hear me? You should be unmuted. It says you are.
Why don't we do this, Amelia? I want to hear.
Can you hear me now? I'm on my phone.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I'm not on the computer.
Thank you, sir.
So in 2017, when we installed the 42-inch pipe along the south of the highway, after we completed the work in late August. It was an unusually wet year in 2016 and 2017. And Larry Sheldon and the RMA board members and a number of community people were all involved in looking at, you know, what could be done to improve the water quality after the fish kill. And we agreed that we would run roughly two cycles, roughly 250 acre feet, which is the volume of the lake at its maximum capacity. We ran over 250 acre feet of water in and out of there, which would have been 25 acres, 10 feet deep. In that one year, we had water really late in the season, and because the water quality, you know, issues were, you know, exacerbated that year, we ran that water into the ditch, and we made some improvement on the water quality, but there are a number of forces that are working against the water quality in that lake, and and the majority of the runoff that gets there either comes from the golf course or units 1, 2, and 3 that are landscape irrigation runoff. And then there is the water that goes in under the 4.5 acre irrigation right that RMA has. And then there's rainfall. And the problem that we get into, particularly this time of the year, is that the river is dropping and there's very little flow in the ditch versus what the ditch can handle. With that, with the improvements that have been made on the ditch and the pipelines and getting more of the water controlled without having to have an open ditch, the throughput in the ditch is greater than it used to be.
Mr. Sullivan, you just muted yourself. There you go.
No, I didn't. I just unmuted myself. So what I was saying is the availability of a higher quality of water doesn't exist after usually around the middle of July. When water isn't coming over the dam and water just comes from behind the dam and into the forebay and then down the ditch, that water has been stagnant.
That's 3 minutes.
I'm not okay. Fine.
John, what I'd like to do is obviously you'll be involved as we get the process going and probably get that ad hoc committee that you mentioned back in, I think it was 16 or 17. I think that probably needs to be a long-term standing committee because we do have a lot of stakeholders around the detention basin as well as downstream. So I don't think we're gonna get this solved in the short term. I think the short term, we are doing some impact issues. So it's not that I wanna cut you off. It's just, we're moving forward with what we think we can do as a district. I think the next phase is the CSD GM with the RMA GM starting to put together that ad hoc committee, and we start bringing all this stuff in. And I'll have conversation with the CSD general manager on what staff CSD needs to put towards this. And we look at it to be a committee that's probably gonna be up and running for, at least for us, a several year fiscal period. So that's kind of where I think the best we can do at this point. Are there any other comments on specific to the retention basin and the midfly issue on item 7 under correspondence?
Well, I'd like to make one further comment.
And sure, go ahead.
And it doesn't matter that the district ran the water in and out of Laguna Joaquin for whatever extended period of years it was. And I will discuss that on a sidebar with the general manager and he can bring the board up to speed. But the reality is that water's been going into Laguna Joaquin above and beyond the irrigation right that RMA has all this year. And that lake has been maintained at within 1 foot of the spillway all this year with a diversion that doesn't require water to go in and out of Laguna Joaquin to the farmers, to the ranches. So we've taken the water that's been necessary up to this point in the irrigation season. RMA's been getting between 3 and 5 acre feet a day of water in that lake from the ditch when it really has the right to get about a half an acre foot. So they've been, in essence, buying more water from the district than they have under their water right to irrigate, which is supposed to be 4.5 acres around Laguna Joaquin and not 40 acres of turf all around the lake. So yes, you are putting stinky water on a lot of landscaping and it smells. Apparently the granular treatment for the midge flies has been a less than smashing success, since we still apparently have midge flies all over the place. And that's no, you know, Army's not, I mean, the CIA's not doing anything to detriment to that water going in and out of there.
Got it. John, I truly appreciate it, but purely for time, and we're not going to solve this. I made a couple of notes, and yes, we do need to follow up with the GM and Tom specifically. I think as we've talked, obviously this is one of those items that we're going to have some conversation with the new RMA GM as we move forward in your working relationship with them.
Mr. Mabee, I do have another hand raised. Mr. Public, would you care to comment?
Yes, thank you. My concern is who's paying for this? You're talking about going ahead and doing, you know, treatments of the water and who knows what else, but from Paul's presentation at the Improvements Committee, it sounded like the people around the lake were supposed to be responsible for paying this due to an easement, but that's not actually happening. You know, these people have my sympathy, certainly, but as a resident of the village, and they won't even let me over there, I mean, I don't want to pay one penny for it. And I don't think that we should be wasting our water that's in the reservoir to flush that out. You know, if RMA wants to pay for it, go ahead. But, you know, my question is, who's paying for it?
I appreciate the question. I think that's going to be one of those items as we move forward that it's going to be something that is on the table, and we're going to have some discussion with it. I know that we have some cost centers throughout the district for specific things, and this very well might become one of those where numerous funds or different types of funds go into this cost center. So I think a better answer, instead of giving you one off the cuff tonight, is that'll be addressed as we move forward, as we move forward with truly how are we going to put a process in place for the medium to long term on this specific issue. Okay, moving on. Item number 8, comments from the public. And I know that we had one, so let's start with that one. And Amelia, I don't remember what the question was.
That was from Crystal. She asked for another resident. With respect to the various natural disasters, i.e. fires, that have occurred in our community of late, can we discuss the possibility, feasibility of air raid sirens in case there is an emergency, especially during the middle of the night?
I understand the question. The breakdown of the incident command system, it does not fall anywhere to the district to activate any of those things. The way that the system is set up in Sacramento County, Sacramento County sheriffs are responsible for all evacuations. That is their area of responsibility when it comes to any type of man-made or natural disasters. The request for evacuations can be made by numerous first responder agencies. County of OES, they're responsible for the collection sites or the evacuation sites. We don't play a role in any of that. We've had those discussions with both county OES and also with the Sheriff's Department. And currently there are numerous automated processes, reverse 911, those types of things that would notify people of a evacuation to take place. Past that, the district has no area of authority to have something whoever this person was that was asking the question to either maintain or to initiate or even have the authorization to activate something like that. So I don't know if that addresses that question of whoever the person was that, that asked it. Do we have any other comments from the public?
Excuse me, a follow-up to that question. This is Crystal Matter. This wasn't posed by the person who asked me to ask it, but I understand based on what you're saying that that CSD may not have authority to initiate or activate, but the CSD have the ability to have a conversation with those first responder agencies to determine if that could become an option in the future and what the cost associated with that would look like. Meaning, you know, could you at least ask for us?
I understand the question. We've had conversation with County OES. There's currently a county system in place of notification and activation and the sequences that, that have to take place for the magnitude of an evacuation to take place. And purely from the standpoint of having a individual location have its own evacuation process, notification, those types of things, doesn't fall into the current command system at the county level that, that I'm aware of. Sure, we can ask. We've asked before about evacuations, and it was explained to us exactly how it would work. So from that standpoint, next time we have a joint security meeting, I can definitely ask. I know what the answer is, but I can ask again.
I'd appreciate
sure.
With respect to the current county system in place, could you identify what that is, if it's like an Amber Alert system or what that is to notify people in the middle of the night, hey, we've got a fire, you need to evacuate immediately. Can you speak to that at all?
Basically what would happen, because it goes in the level of the command structure and the significance of the incident. So here in Marietta, we don't have the huge threat of wildland. We have tile roofs, we have asphalt, and most importantly, we have hydrants. So we're not a paradise, we're not a butte, we're not any of those types of communities. So a more realistic would be a flooding where Jackson Highway gets closed and now we have to notify people. Again, that system then goes to the sheriffs on how they're gonna do the notification, whether it's overhead by a audio speaker from the helicopter, whether it's the actual officers coming and doing the evacuation. They do the reverse 911. Those are all the systems that are in place depending on the severity of the disaster that has to take place.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Any other comments from the public? Not hearing any. Amelia, do you have any hands raised?
No hands raised, no questions on chat.
Thank you. Item number 9, consideration for committee assignments. I asked for this to be put on, and I just want to get a consensus from the other board members. Due to the expertise that Mr. Pohl brings to the board as a engineer, and the opening in the improvements committee, my thought process was to assign that committee to Mr. Pohl. So if I have a consensus, then we can have Martin Pohl be assigned to the improvements committee.
I'm happy with that.
Okay.
Do you want something from us, Tim?
I think that's
great. I'm all in favor of it.
Okay, perfect.
Just what the committee needs, another engineer.
Well, I was a little concerned on that. I know we don't have a committee for partying, so that's where you two should be. Amelia, I think when you and I discussed, you're working with Mr. Martin on the dates of the committee and getting some of the background information and access, et cetera, for him.
I've given him quite a bit of information. If there's anything else he wants, send me an email, Marty, or call me, and I will get it over to you right away. Our next meeting is the 1st of September. We look forward to having it there.
Very good. And again, Amelia, just remember, don't use large words and talk slow. Okay, moving on to item number 10. This is a public hearing. Consider placing delinquent accounts on tax roll of Sacramento County for collections. There's a part A, B, C, and D. So, Tom, I don't know if you want to start with D and work your way backwards or start with A and we move from there.
Well, we're going to start with A, keep everything in sequence. And it's very simple. When we initially put out the list for the accounts to go to the tax roll, there was about 70-some thousand dollars, and most of those accounts have been brought current. And so we only have one account that we're going to request be placed on the tax roll, and that account is MRK Development, Murrieta Residence Hills East, and their amount due is, off the screen right now, it is $2,318, or $20,318. So the process is we have this public hearing, and then our staff then place some documents with the county, and the amounts go on the tax roll for their next tax statement. At the end of the day, if the developer chooses not to pay his taxes on the tax roll, the county next year this time will consider moving that debt to the TEETER program, at which time the district will receive the funds. I have been told by the developer that they're planning on bringing this account current in the next couple months. So once they pay their tax bill, if they do so, we would see the money in our December tax allocation.
Okay, very good. Item B.
Who's got item B?
I'm opening up for the public hearing for comments placing delinquent accounts on tax rolls for Sacramento County. Do we have any hands raised, Amelia?
We have no hands raised, and we have no chats. So I don't believe anybody has any comment.
Okay, moving on to item C then. The board president will close the public hearing, placing delinquent accounts on the tax rolls for Sacramento County. On to item D, and that is board discussion approval of resolution R-2020-05, and that's the resolution authorizing collection, questioning inclusion, delinquent rates, special taxes, charges, penalties for drainage, security taxes on the tax roll for the forthcoming fiscal year in the same manner as the general taxes. Having seen the documents prior in our board packets, I'm going to call for a motion. Not hearing a motion, I'm going to make a motion for approval to accept resolution R-2020-05. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Janko.
I have a second. Any further discussion? Not hearing any further discussion. Amelia, would you do a roll call, please?
Gladly. President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler. Director Butler. We'll come back to her. Director Merchant. I see Director Mabee Director Butler. I'm looking for you, John. John, I see that you're not muted either. Oh, now you muted yourself.
Yes, I voted yes.
Thank you very much, sir. And Director Pohl?
Yes.
Director Butler, are you with us? Can you hear us? We do have 4 out of the 5 yes votes. What are my instructions, Mr. Mady?
That's enough for a majority, so it passes. So once Director Butler comes back on board, I will have some discussion with her that it passed. Just because of time constraints, we're not going to wait for her. Item number 11, which is to introduce adoption of the ordinance 2020-03, amending District Code Chapter 15, Sewer Code, regarding updates, revisions to various provisions. I think this goes to Paul in your area, and reading this very light reading and non-technical reading, do you have anything to add, or is there any questions before I ask for a motion?
No, it just went to the Improvements Committee twice, and now it's going forward to the board for approval.
Excellent, thank you. I'm going to make a motion, the adoption, the adoption of Ordinance 2020-03, amending District Code Chapter 15. Yes?
I don't mean to correct you, but I believe that Mr. Shanahan will agree with me that because this is an ordinance, we have to introduce it tonight, and then we will move to adopt it at the meeting in September.
Okay, so then by introducing it, is there any board action that's needed?
Waive the first reading.
Waive the first reading.
Okay. So with that being said, we've had the first reading. I've read it a couple of times again. What's that?
Do we need a roll call vote for this, Mr. Shanahan?
Yes, you need a motion to introduce and waive the full reading, and a second and a vote to introduce.
Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Shanahan. So to introduce the adoption of the ordinance 2020-03, amending District Code Chapter 15, which is sewer, regarding updates, revisions to various provisions, and waive the first reading. I make a motion that we accept that at this time. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Jenka. Roll call vote. President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Jenka.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Merchant. He's with us. He's unmuting himself as we speak. Director
yes.
Merchant?
Yes.
And Director Pohl?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Amelia. Thank you, Mr. Shanahan. Item 12, discuss security rate options and timelines. This is going to be from the GM. We've had prior discussion at the board level on this. We've also had it at a couple of committee meetings. I wanted it on the agenda so that people understand potentially where we're going, what we're trying to accomplish from this standpoint. So, Tom?
Yes, thank you, Director Mabee. In the budget for the current fiscal year, we planned on issuing an RFP for consulting services to review the fee structure of our security program, of our security special tax. Between the time we put this in the budget and today, we learned a lot. So since passing Measure J, the cost for security has eventually exceeded the revenue to the point where we're now supplementing security, probably have been for up to 10 years, with general revenue property taxes receipts. The security department is at the point where it's a fourth of the cost of the security is being supplemented with property tax, which really for a district such as ours, most of our property taxes should be going into reserves for future infrastructure needs or for a small amount of general purpose use. So what we discovered since last February is that we really can't affect the property or the security rate. Those were approved by the voters. If we're going to change how much a specific type of property pays for their security services, it needs to go back to the voters. It's not something we can change. This has been visited numerous times, most prevalently in 2010, when the airport requested to have their security fees reduced when they put in security cameras. And it was very clear from the experts that that was not feasible. That what the voters voted for is what the voters get. And we're gonna go back to the voters. So now, since it was initially proposed, we've got a bunch of public concerns related to the rates for different properties, as well as what we're doing with the money for security in the first place, now that we're having to supplement it so much with property taxes. So at the request of the president, maybe I was asked to put this on the agenda and create an opportunity to where we can have a public discussion, get direction, and then begin to hold a series of meetings that that could take place. So if what we really want to do is go back to the voters, we have time to do so between now and the general election in June of 2021. So for me, this is just an opportunity for the board to hold a public discussion on the types of things you want to say about security services, gate services, patrol services, administrative services, technology services, what type of things you're thinking as far as a group, where you want us to go. Then I can start putting together a package. I come back to the board with some staff recommendations. But other than that, I'm ready to hear a public discussion.
Tom, thank you. And again, just to give a little bit of background on this, the board has commented in some very vigorously that the fiscal process needs to be looked at. And so again, I think this is a dual component from a fiscal standpoint, as well as a level of service standpoint that we're going to be looking at with security. So with that said, do I have any comments from the directors at this time?
I just have a quick one, Tim, and that is that my fear is that this thing is going to get bogged down the more comments, the more public input you get, you know, and there's nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong with public comment, but there can only be three or four outcomes to this situation if you sit and think about the fact that it costs us more to run security than what we take in. So less security, more revenue. It's not, there isn't a lot of rocket science here. And I'd hate to get bogged down into minutiae about how many security guards are on duty at any one time and those kinds of things versus looking at the big picture here and how do we get this out to the taxpayers and let them decide what they want without bogging this thing down to the point where what we get back would be meaningless. So and I don't know how to do that. I'm just saying I think this thing could easily get off the tracks.
I understand what your comment was, Randy, and Tom and I have spoken about that. We have some historical information that we're going to rely on. And this really isn't about the number of officers, those types of things. We know what the tax says and what the obligation for the district is. So with that as the main structure of how the services are provided, that's what we're going to be looking at. Because again, at the end of the day, looking at what the tax requirements are and then what the funding level currently is, those are really the two competing factors that we have. And so I've been working with the general manager to kind of work through a couple of these things. And once we get a little bit more information, and again, I want to thank Director Merchant for his time on the finance side of this. We're going to meet with some stakeholder groups and make sure that everyone understands how we got here. And really that's going to be some of the bigger discussion points, because we're on a time frame. And again, it may not be a single fiscal year, but we have to have a game plan to get out of the way the funding is. And really we're only have a couple of options, but most of how we want the security to look at came from the survey a few years ago. But I understand what you're saying, Randy, and we're not going to get into how many patrol officers, et cetera, et cetera. Really, this is a fiscal standpoint, and truly what are the requirements of the tax measure that we have to meet as a minimum. Any other directors?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Hello? Amelia, can you help John?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
I sound like the cellular commercial. Couple of things, and I agree with Randy's concern that we get bogged down. But I think to some degree we have to understand what it is we're going to provide before we can effectively cost it. And I think a lot of that will have to come from some kind of public input. But at the end of the day, after we take that input, I think based on the latent power that we possess, we're the ones that have to put this out there. So based on what we gather, we will formulate a plan and we will put it on a referendum, and then we will let the folks who live here decide if they approve it. And it's obviously going to be, because of where we are right now at the status quo, it's obviously going to be where we're asking for more money. Part of understanding this public input from my standpoint is I've never really completely been able to understand who is or what portion of the community is, for example, comfortable with the status quo. It could be 10%, it could be 90%. I have really no idea, because if you ask 10 people, you get 10 different answers. So part of that public input is really going to be, as we gather all of this information and we structure something that we can cost, it will be basically, I think, here's what we've come up with based on what you've told us. Now you have to tell us if this is what you want. And ultimately that will be in the form of a referendum. A couple other things that I think are important. I think it's important to segregate the gate operation from the patrol and service part of the operation, because number one, I think the gate or the gates here are the Holy Grail, and a lot of people live here because they're present. Number two, I think they work really well. What we found in our investigation is they're staffed pretty much now the way they were staffed 15 years ago. So the real changes that we're going to focus on are really from a patrol standpoint. There's the potential of understanding that the security for people inside of the gates is distinctly different than it is, for example, for the groups that are across on the other side of the Jackson Highway. Simply for number one, they don't have gates. They're commercial operations. They operate on 14-hour days. And in between there, we have two entities now that are actually residential communities, pretty much unprotected by a gate. So is there something we do, and I'm not advocating anything, but is there something we do to deal specifically with these two different kinds of requirements? Mm-hmm. So going through all of this and talking to the RMA, who's the customer, for part of this, and talking to the commercial side, who's another customer, I really do think that the onus is going to be on us to put something together based on all of this input and on all of the financial data that we've been able to put together. I mean, some of the things that are going to come to light are, I had our finance folks try to come up with an actual cost for a patrol officer, not only in what we pay them, but what we provide them in fringe. And remarkably, when we get to the point where we discuss those numbers, you're going to find out, for example, that there's not a lot of difference in the cost that it really costs us to provide that patrol officer versus what it costs to bring a sheriff in here. And when the sheriff comes, he brings his own car, which we pay for on the security side. So there may be a mix or a blend of things that we can do. But what we've done to this point has been revealing. And I think, you know, starting with the finance committee, what we really need to do now is put together a roadmap timeline on how long this should take. And we should also be putting together a map of who we want to talk to, when we want to talk to them, and what kind of questions we want to ask.
Very good. Thank you, John. Any other board members?
I do have a public comment, President, maybe.
Okay. Was anybody from the board?
This is Martin. I like that approach, although I'm thinking that we also ought to know and be able to tell the residents what can be provided for the taxes that we're collecting. If it's less gate staff, less patrol staff, whatever it is.
I understand that, Martin. And I think those are going to be some of the things that are going to be options or portioned out for us to understand. And what is going to be critical, I think, is it is going to come back to the board, obviously with legal input, et cetera, on how we move forward for what does the referendum to this tax look like from that standpoint. With that said, Amelia, you had comments?
From Crystal Matters. Crystal, take it away.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. What are the scope of comments you're looking for at this juncture? I don't want to get it too far into the weeds if this is just kind of a preliminary discussion and we can anticipate that this is going to be an item on the next agenda for further comment, or if I should go into details to some of my questions now.
I would probably say at this point, Crystal, if you have specific comments, put them in an email and send them to myself or to the general manager. I think it's too early to get into detail type issues because we're just looking at really what are going to be the steps, what are the timelines, and what are the processes. So to even come up with very in the weeds type questions, just we're not prepared at this point, quite honestly.
Sure. Without having the benefit of what my questions are, would it be sufficient to say that you won't take any action with respect to security until such time as there is some public comment on these issues?
I don't understand the question. We take action on security all the time because that's what we do as board members. So I don't understand the question in its general aspect.
Sure. So if we're only kind of speaking generally now, we're not going into the weeds. What this agenda item speaks to is the RFP for consulting services and looking at potentially a different way or a different model of security. That's how I understand it, at least in its most general form. So would it be appropriate for me to assume that if we are not taking specific questions on this issue at this time, that the board is prepared and the GM is prepared to maintain the status quo with respect to security and not move forward on any RFP until such time as there is an open comment period that will delve into some specific questions?
I now understand the question. The RFP that we're talking about is for a fee structure analysis, not a restructuring or a new way of doing any type of service with security. We've identified that we have a funding process that works, but it's not probably the most appropriate, the board's determined. So from that standpoint, the decisions that the board will make and continue to make all the way through this process, we'll make operational and fiscal decisions as we would any other time or any prior fiscal period as we did last year. So to that extent, we're always going to tweak the system a little bit, but no, at this point in time, I think Director Merchant said it best, we're not advocating anything at this point.
Okay, understood. And I appreciate Board Member Pohl's statement identifying that CSD should identify to the residents any sort of change in services. Hopefully I didn't mischaracterize that in any way. I would just hope that in a public forum I may be able to ask specific questions, because rather than sending an email to anybody on the board or the GM, it is possible that any specific questions I have may pique somebody else's interest, may spur somebody else to ask questions. So I just want to make sure it's considered in an open forum before any divisive action is taken.
Tim?
Yes, I'll speak. Go ahead.
It's Linda.
Go ahead.
I don't think we can take any action on some of these things without possibly even a vote. Is that not accurate or?
Well, I think a couple of things. I'm confused on, because we're just asking for an RFP on the fee structure analysis. So
right.
In this case, the general public is going someplace that we haven't even discussed as a board.
Right.
Either with staff or amongst ourselves or in any other board meeting. So we're way ahead of, I think where we're at right now. This is just a fee structure analysis so that we can figure out really what are the true costs, et cetera, for the services being provided.
Exactly.
That's then going to give us the opportunity to educate whoever the stakeholders are at the different meetings, town halls, however we outlay this out there. At that point, we'll have that window of opportunity. And again, it's very clear on how the tax was written, what CSD is obligated for, and we'll adhere to that from that standpoint. So, you know, a lot of this, I think, Randy, your comment is really coming pretty dead on that we're not going to get bogged down in the minutia. We're going to get a process in place and then implement that process and have the opportunity for folks to make comments before we as a board have to take some type of action to fiscally modify the current funding process for security. So I don't know if that answered your question. I believe it was Crystal, but that's kind of where we're at right now.
This is Tom Hennig. Can I have a minute?
Oh, absolutely.
I may not have been really clear with this memo, but my intent was to make it clear. We don't want to put out an RFP at this time. We're asking the board to provide guidance on scope to staff before we produce an RFP, if we in fact produce one. As we started preparing to create this RFP, I realized that there's a lot more work to be done before we actually put anything on the street for bid. So my hope was to get guidance from the board or allowing us to hold a series of meetings to explore options. One option could be, again, another ad hoc committee, and I know you mentioned that earlier, for a short amount of time to try to gather up the information and help us determine what's our next step. It's because clearly we're not gonna get any more money from the taxes. And if we wanna change that, you have to go back to the public to get a vote. In order to make security be solvent on the revenue, there needs to be changing in the structure of how we provide security. It could be that it's the choice of the board to continue to supplement security with an ever increasing amount of property taxes. So I want to be clear, no RFP at this time. I'm just trying to get direction to take our next move. Thank you.
And we do have one hand raised when you're ready, President Mabee.
Let's go ahead and have the hand raiser, please.
Okay, thank you. I have a few concerns. One, my main concern is that I certainly hope you can be completely open and transparent about what you're doing. Because I want to know what's going on, but importantly for you, you're going to have to sell this. And if you're not open and transparent, people aren't going to go for it. Another point is I certainly share Randy's concerns about getting people's input and people getting into the minutia of how many people are staffing, patrols and like that. But there's a lot of other people, I know I'm one of them, that have other concerns that have nothing to do with minutia. And I certainly want them to be heard. And if you're not willing to hear our input on there's something wrong with you, and whatever you come up with should be defeated. I hope you're not doing that. And I hear you talking about making contact and talking with stakeholders. And I'm wondering who those selected stakeholders are. Oh. Am I going to be left out? So I think it's critical that you have input of the residents, that if not, you're not going to be successful. And I certainly want my input. I certainly understand you don't want to get bogged down in the minutia, which is totally irrelevant. I find that very frustrating. But, you really need people's input. And at this point, what I'm hearing you saying is you're heading down a path that I disagree with. Maybe it's the correct one, but I'd like to have my input into, hey, maybe there's another path that you can go down. So, but first and foremost, I think it's important for you to be very open and transparent. And at this point, I'm not seeing it. So that's it.
Amelia, do you have any other hands raised?
I do not have any other hands raised, nor do I have any other chats.
Okay. So, the impression I'm getting, we should agendize this to the finance committee. And I think Tom will kind of start coming up with some processes, potential, some timelines, kind of start working backwards if we are going to go to a referendum, then, you know, what is our cutoff date? And we start working backwards from there and kind of get the process in line so that we can meet all the logistical needs as we're moving forward because of the timelines. I'm not even going to address the public comments at this point. So if any of the other board members have a last comment on this item. Okay, not hearing any. Then once it goes to the Finance Committee and we start getting some of the draft stuff in place, then we'll update as necessary. Item number 13, Director comments, suggestions. Rest of the board.
Tim, I've got it's not really a comment or suggestion, but it's a question. And it comes from the earlier discussion about Laguna Joaquin. We broached this subject at the last Improvements Committee meeting. And Paul and Tom were gonna look into doing some things, talking to John about the water flush and so on and so forth. And during this conversation, you said maybe we ought to get this ad hoc committee back together because there are more stakeholders. RMA probably has a bigger part in this than we do. What would you like to see the improvements committee do? I mean, we can just say it's not our venue. You take it to the ad hoc committee, or we can bring in some stakeholders and discuss it with them at the improvements committee meeting. We could be a conduit between our board and what's going on out there, or we can just drop it. I'm looking for some direction.
I understand. So other board members, if you have some thoughts, I'll take it as well. What jumps out at me at first, Randy, is continue doing exactly what the Improvements Committee and staff is doing. As we reach out to the new GM at RMA, we'll get a better idea in the next couple of days exactly what their involvement level needs to be. I'm going to have some discussion with the assistant GM tomorrow, who has pretty good history on how the ad hoc committee and some of the recommendations, and maybe it's just we get that document to the improvements committee ahead of time to see if we're on the right track or did we skip something or those types of things. But I think as you move forward, just understand that this is going to be an issue that, you know, we're going to have for a little bit, and that could be a few fiscal cycles. But definitely keep working with the options that you have. I know Paul had a notice go out during the meeting here on the chat about the water flush and what it would take and some of those things. So I think we keep looking at those things. And before you have the improvement committee meeting, we should have some pretty good input from RMA and some thoughts with them that and I'm going to ask that they share with you at the improvements committee. So I don't know if that helps, but that's my thought process right now.
Okay. Tim, it's Linda. Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I like the idea of getting that ad hoc committee going again. If we have past experience and records of what we've dealt with and done, I think that could help us immensely. I think the issue about who owns the CIA ditch and how that all fits into this is really relevant and important, because we don't own the CIA ditch. And that's a big part of this Joaquin Basin, what comes in and what goes out and all of that. So I think that needs to be something that's really clear with people and how it's been how it's been used in this situation. So yeah, I think we need to have more conversation, more also if there's anybody that we know who's been through some of this before, and there was a long list of possible helpful agencies, et cetera, people, I think we should check into that too.
Good. I agree. I think much like a lot of things, all the easy answers have been used here in Rancho Marietta. So with that, it's one of those that finding out historically what's taken place, what were the understandings, as somebody mentioned earlier in the meeting, before we didn't care about organic farms, and now there's a cost for that, and where's that cost absorbed? So I think that that's going to be part of the bigger discussion. I think immediately, as Paul's going to do some of the mitigation, you know, starting tomorrow at the direction of the GM, and thank you, Tom. You know, we're going to do some immediate stuff that we weren't planning on, and that's fine. It all falls within the fiscal budget process. And then ultimately, this is going to be one of those agendized items, I think, Randy, for quite a while as we move through this process. Any other board members for comments? Suggestions.
Yeah, this is John. I agree. I think with our two engineers on the improvements committee, I mean, I think that's kind of where logically this thing belongs. I'm not sure we have to go the ad hoc route to do it. Even if I would much prefer to see, even if they had like a second improvements committee meeting with a specific agendized item to deal with Laguna Joaquin, and it was understood that the stakeholders would be at that meeting, you know. Number one, it keeps it with the people that, you know, have the engineering background to deal with it. But secondly, it also keeps it out in the open. I mean, the ad hoc committee means, you know, people can get together in a private room and discuss what they want. But if you put this, I mean, there's nothing in here that needs to be a secret. I mean, everybody pretty much, I think, understands what the problem is. It's just a discussion on what the best way to fix it, both in the short and the long term, are.
Very good, John. Randy, with this thought, and I just made a couple of notes, so when I speak to the assistant GM for RMA tomorrow, I'm going to specifically ask that we get the document that was produced and get it out to the CSD folks. And just make sure it's dust off and we understand. And John, I agree with you. I don't want to duplicate something or reinvent something if we don't have to. I think that'll fall to the improvements committee. If they can handle it at their level and they're getting the RMA folks on board, then maybe that's the most efficient way to go and the most expeditious way to go from that standpoint. But I think we get what that document was produced. It's been too many years. I was on the RMA board with a couple of other stooges when we put that together. So I just don't remember what it is. Maybe that gives us kind of a roadmap and we don't have to reinvent. Okay, I'm just making a quick note. Any other board members for comments or suggestions?
Yeah, this is Martin. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to be part of the board, and I'll try to get up to speed as fast as I can.
Yeah, the training wheels, just swing by. You'll get them from Amelia at the office.
Probably need it, yeah.
I have just a couple of things. I thank Paul for putting that little note out to everybody to look at during the meeting on the chat for the improvements. I recently had a very good conversation with the RMA board president. I know very shortly the board president, the new GM, myself and Tom are going to meet and have some discussion and try and figure out if our priorities at CSD align with some of the priorities of RMA. I hope to get that done in the next week or so. The reason I think I had a good meeting with the RMA president, she didn't throw dirt clods this time, and she said when she tried to run me over, it was an accident. So I think we have a window of opportunity here with staff, the current boards, to kind of move forward from that standpoint. So with that, again, I want to thank staff for just keeping us moving as an organization during this COVID experience. Tom, you're doing a very good job, as well as Paul. I appreciate everything you're accomplishing. With that, if I have no other comments from directors, I'm going to move, I'm going to make a motion if I could have a second for adjournment.
Second.
Roll call. Do we need?
Janko. Roll call vote. President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Pohl.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Shanahan. Amelia, again, great job in doing all this for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.